Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here it tells us that the purpose of the incarnation, one of the purposes of Christ coming and taking on human flesh, was for the purpose that through death, he couldn't die if he didn't take on human flesh, could he? Couldn't die if he didn't take on human flesh. And so it says that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so here we have a very important passage of Scripture. Now remember, the Jewish viewpoint is that the death of Christ was a negative. It was kind of like a humanistic thing. Oh, how could the Son of God die? I mean, that's not good. It's a picture, it's like, man was victorious over him. He experienced death. This is a terrible thing. In fact, the opposite is what Hebrews is talking about, that the death of Christ was glorious. It was the crown of his glory. It was not a detraction from his glory. And verse 14 tells us, why did he take on flesh? For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood. Left heaven's glory, took upon him human flesh, was born of a virgin, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, we're going to talk about a couple things. One is, what is this? The devil having the power of death. What is this? How was the devil destroyed through the death of Christ? And what kind of death in this particular case is he talking about? Okay? What kind of death? He destroyed him that had the power of death. Now, of course, there's some things that we would think about as we think about the devil's power. The devil tempted in the garden. The devil was the one who was behind the downfall of Adam and Eve. Wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Satan was behind that. The Bible tells us the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. We find that all lost people are under the power of darkness, the power of Satan. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, what kind of death is this talking about? Certainly this death, the power of death, includes and probably is all centered around Romans 6:23. What kind of death? For the wages of sin is death. Earlier in the chapter, it tells us how Christ tasted death, verse 9, for every man. What Romans 6:23 is talking about, the justice of God. The justice of God. God's law has been broken, hasn't it? And there's a just penalty required because of sin. And I think that's what that is certainly the emphasis of Romans chapter number 3. Let's turn there quickly. In verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How is God able to be just with our sin? How is God able to be just concerning the fact that we have sinned and forgive us of our sins? It's based on the fact that Christ paid the complete penalty of our sin on the cross. That he paid the complete penalty of our sin on the cross. Now, we sometimes just take that for granted. But the fact is, the Roman Catholic faith is based on the idea that you can't know you're saved. You can't know that. But the Bible faith is based on the fact that you can know that. And the reason you can know that is because Christ was the propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The word propitiation means satisfaction. So when Christ tasted death for every man, He was tasting that penal death of our sin. He was tasting the righteous judgment of God on our behalf. And so now God is able to be save us and to forgive us, because by our faith in Christ, our sin has been completely taken care of on Calvary's cross. Now, this relates to the devil. This relates to the devil, who is the prince of the power of the air, who all those that are lost are the children of Satan. All those who are lost are under his power. And how is that? That's a good question. I don't know if how accurately we can apply this, but how did he have the power of death? Because the devil, stands upon the justice of God. The devil would say to God, "You must send that person to hell because they're a sinner. Because they have broken your law. And your law has to be fulfilled. The penalty of your law has to be fulfilled. No one can just escape that." And so Satan would demand demand before God that our sin be punished. But now he can't do that. He can't do that. Power has been nullified. Has been nullified how? By Christ's death on the cross. And so it says that he might destroy him that had the power of death. Let's look at a couple places where, just see how this word to destroy is translated, and it really has the idea to strip him of his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught." That's the word to destroy. To bring to nothing things that are. And so it says he's bringing to naught the power of Satan. Romans chapter 3, that word destroy, is translated to be without effect. Romans chapter number 3. And verse number 3, it says... "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" That's the word to destroy. So putting that word in there, it brought the power of Satan to none effect. Romans 3:31. "Do we then make void the law through faith?" Make void. You could put that word in there. That through death, he made void the Satan's power over death. And so Satan, by Christ's death on the cross, instead of, as the Jewish were thinking, oh, this is a failure. This is not good. This makes Christ lower. Actually, the Bible says this is his crowning glory, because it was through his death that Satan, as our enemy, has been judged. Satan, as our enemy, has been stripped of his power. And so this death of Christ. And how was it that he could die? He had to take on flesh and blood. He couldn't die if he didn't take on flesh and blood. And in his death, the Bible says, he destroyed, he put to naught, he stripped the power of Satan. And so, death of our Savior, again, is a crowning victory. It is a wonderful a thing in the fact that here it emphasizes that Satan has been conquered, because the penalty of sin has been paid, and Satan's power over death has been nullified, and the world is in fear of death, the believer is in a completely different situation. Because for the believer, death, what is it? Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the world, who are under the curse of sin and under Satan's, under the curse of sin, they're afraid. Because death is followed by judgment. Death is followed, physical death is brings one into the realm of the judgment of God. But for the believer, the pangs of death are gone. We only see the body. But what about that soul? It is entering into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And so we find that all of this is a part of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Now, because the Satan has been defeated, because he has been conquered on the cross, now we can live by faith. Now we can resist him. Now we are free. He has been defeated. And so the Bible says the prince of this world is judged. And so Christ took on human flesh. Why? So he could save us. Why? To prove to us the love of God. Why? To save sinners. But Hebrews 2 tells us another aspect, to destroy him that had the power of death. You know, I think it is important that even though the devil walks about as a roaring lion, the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, and that Satan's power has been destroyed. His power over death has been destroyed on the cross. He is a defeated foe. The judgment of God has been completely satisfied, and we are freed, delivered from that bondage. You know, every one of us are going to die. We like to think that we're really ready to die. And really, that's what our life is all about as a Christian. I remember Frank Bumpus, he was a preacher in Chicago. I'm not sure, I think he had Parkinson's or one of these debilitating diseases. And he said, we live our whole life to get ready to die. And when it comes time to dying, we try to stay alive as much as we can. And there's a real question. How are we going to face death? Are we going to face death as walking through the valley of the shadow of death? We're going to face death as death is the means of entering the glorious gates of heaven, and death has lost its sting? Or are we going to be fearful? We all can say whatever we're going to say, but death is real. And certainly that is a test of our faith in what God has said and what Christ has accomplished. On the other hand, let us be reminded of the fact that the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Hebrews 2:14. That might destroy him, that Satan that hath the power of death. Are you ready to die? That's a good question. If you are not saved, then you're not ready to die. And do you know, there's some here tonight that aren't saved. And they try to brush it off like nothing, kind of like Jordan, trying to brush it off. It's as though it's not going to happen. But you know what? Death is real. And the greatest curse of America is comfort. And the more comfortable people are, the less they think of the reality of death. I remember when Brother Simonson first went to Kenya. Kenya was much different than it is today. Much, much different. Very few people had TV back in those days when the Simonsons went to Kenya in 1988. And life was very precarious. And I remember Brother Simonson coming back from the first term on the field and had reports of all these people that had come to Christ. And he said, you know, it's really easy winning people to Christ in Kenya because people are dying everywhere. He said, you know, you go down the street and there'd be somebody dead alongside of the street. And people just were dead all over the place. Life was short. And most people had very few comforts. Life was very difficult. And you just saw a lot of people who died, whether it was AIDS or whether it was accidents or thieves or whatever, people were dying, and just very much part of life. And he says, when you witness to someone, And he said, are you saved? They wouldn't say, no, I'm not saved. They would say, not yet. Because they knew they needed to get saved. And they were intending on getting saved. And because they knew that they were living in the realm of death every day. Because their life was so difficult and so hard, and they had so little food. And remember, Mr. Simonson said very few Africans ever ate more than one meal a day back in those days. And usually it would be what we wouldn't hardly call it a meal. You go down the street and you'd see someone baking corn over barbecue, and that would be a cob of corn would be their meal for the day. But today we live in a day of comfort, and we don't think about death. I'm wondering, are you ready to die? And the other question is, you say you're ready to die, are you really ready to die? You really think that death is glorious, like the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? You really believe it's a gateway into heaven? That the sting of death has been taken away, and it is a wonderful thing to go into the presence of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that the devil has been defeated. We thank you that, Lord, that he has been destroyed, his power over death, and that, Lord, that because of Christ dying on the cross, we can have a no-so salvation. And, Lord, we can walk as the children of the heavenly King. And we can live as people who've escaped the clutches of Satan and his power. And Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts even tonight, as some would somehow like to think that it would be better not to get saved. And yet, Lord, we realize that the penalty of sin is death, that judgment of a holy God on sin is that result of sin. And we thank you, Lord, for a living Savior who died to deliver us from that penalty. Might you work in hearts to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.